Moi, c'est Sarita, puis je vais parler pour Personne n'est illégal. Je vais parler en anglais, mais je voulais juste me présenter en français parce qu'on est au Québec. Mais so I'm Sarita Hucha, and I'll be speaking in English, but I wanted to also speak French because we are in Quebec. And as Andrea mentioned, I also was in the workshop with Ashanti, and I realized that many of the things that we want to address and the many of the things that we're grappling with, he very eloquently described the same processes 30 years ago. Because I feel that we're at some of the same crossroads, a lot of us. But I've been told to keep it, you know, short, the why and how. So no one is illegal in Montreal. It is part of a worldwide movement of people that are taking direct action to fight along with the excluded, the displaced, and the dispossessed. It's much more developed and mature in the European countries, in Australia, and it is quite new to the northern part of the Americas. Latin America, it's also a very old, old struggle, an old perspective of how to talk about social revolution. But here we are citizens and non-citizens. We are immigrants, migrants, and their children, and we are anarchists, anti-colonialists, and anti-imperialists that have chosen to take the power that is ours, but to fight together. And the battlefield is where the people are being displaced, detained, and deported, where they are transgressing the borders and breaking out of the cages that have been imposed upon them today, but for centuries. The fight is where they work silently and invisibly to maintain the current global apartheid that starves and terrorizes us into submission. It is part of the growing resistance to the never-ending project of conquest and enslavement that refuses to be subordinated to the white man's business, asserting the right to free movement, the right to self-determine our destiny and our way of life on our own terms. For shorthand, I'll begin talking about how anti-authoritarians started No One Is Illegal organizing in Montreal. Back when we were faced with organizing against the Summit of the Americas and the Free Trade Area of the Americas in 2000, a lot of CLAC organizers wanted to address the hidden realities of an entire underclass in Western societies. A vast majority of people and workers who are kept vulnerable and exploitable and disposable. CLAC was actively supporting at the time the Immigrant Workers Center's campaign in their effort to stop the deportation of Melka Salvador. She's one of the thousands of Filipina domestic workers that work in Canadian homes. You never see them, but they are there cleaning for and taking care of the elite that govern us and the world. Melka decided to defy the system and assert her rights. And as they said, if she's good enough to work, then she's good enough to stay. And people rallied behind her and her Canadian-born son to defend this choice. So moving rapidly up to September 11th, there was a lot of stuff that happened in the meantime, but I'm just going to keep this short. It basically accelerates the organizing and the militancy around these issues, but in a way that busts open the political terrain so that those that are directly affected can really take center stage, so that they can confront their local tyrants and assert their rights and legitimize their struggle. That's happening every day, all the time. But confronting the war on terrorism not only means tackling its so-called front line, the first line of defense, the borders of Western civilization and interests, it also meant talking about the nature of today's thriving colonial states, like Canada's settler society on stolen land. So during the fall, when 1,000 non-status Algerians were still facing massive deportation, and before the Bourissa family decided to take that defiant step and take sanctuary in the oldest black church in Quebec, which is also, I think, very significant, a demo was held in front of the federal government buildings here in Montreal, something that happens all the time. But there was a twist. Sean Brandt from the Mohawk Nation and Wolf Smoke of the Lakota Nation welcomed and greeted the non-status Algerians to Turtle Island, reminding people that the Canadian state has no jurisdiction. that there are many who will continue to challenge their self-proclaimed authority to monitor and control our movements and our conditions of life. Since then, the Comité d'Action sans Statut members have participated in many delegations to support the Shuswap Nation in their struggle to safeguard their history in Squeakquequilt. That's just a little insight into the many steps, little steps, because they are little, that make up an evolving social struggle that a lot of anarchists are super involved in and committed to. And it's about building and contributing to this culture of resistance that we want to see thrive so that everyone can assert and be an actor in this struggle for self-liberation on our terms and not surrender the political and public terrain to the reformists, to the careerists, to the opportunists, because they're everywhere, to the corrupt, and to the politically correct multicultural statists. We want more than fair and better treatment. We don't just want to be tolerated or controlled. We want revolutionary social change, and I think it can happen. So recognizing that people are resisting on a day-to-day basis and seizing the opportunities where we can participate in that to organize with this resistance, spreading the words that we have, the weapons that we have, and make it more collective in a way that the daily operations that keep people down are rendered illegitimate and challengeable for more and more people, but through direct action and organized resistance, so that we're helping build a grassroots movement that doesn't become institutionalized and stillborn. So I'm going to stop there because the next gets into the more how. So that's it for now.